Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey!
Oh!
Hey! Oh. Hey, Randy!
Oh, what up, brother?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I didn't see you once I could.
Once you passed me,
didn't
see me again?
985, I was like, damn, where's Buck at?
See you in Midtown.
Yeah.
I wasn't that much later than you.
No, you were. You were. And I got the best parking space in the parking deck, too.
So. VIP spot. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, anyway, we're here. Missed the first hour. Shout out to Mike Conti and Bo for holding it down. We'll get to all the details of all that as we go on. We got 2 hours to get to it. Actually, we won't get to all the details of it, honestly. We'll move on and talk about the football games. But the reason we were going to be in Flowery Branch today was because Jeff Ulbricht was introduced as the new defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. We were going to sit down with him and chat in person. Couldn't do that. He's nice enough to call us up and let us interview him on the phone. Jeff, how are you?
Appreciate it. Appreciate you, Jay.
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Doing good.
First of all, welcome back.
Andy and Randy.
That's us.
You got it. Easy to remember.
Without a doubt.
Welcome back, man. Welcome back to Atlanta.
Thank you. Good to be back.
I heard some of the press conference and some of the clips, and you're talking about, you know, and this is true of job experience and life experience. People change and grow and all that. But you talked about how you're different now than maybe you were last time here. How so, would you say?
In every way humanly possible, if that's possible.
Okay.
It starts with my ability to really build the defensive roster and the process in which you do that. Like when I left this building, I thought I knew, and I wasn't close, you know. So learned a lot regarding that. Learned a lot regarding scheme, regarding just more answers for the players. In all honesty, I felt like I got a PhD in education in defensive football from Robert Saleh. He was he's one of the brightest defensive minds I've ever been around, and just to soak him up for 4 years was amazing for my growth, you know. And a lot of the things that I truly believe in, you know, regarding culture and regarding style of play, those just got reinforced, and I feel probably even stronger than I ever regarding some of those things. But the roster building and the scheme. A new human being.
What about this scheme, Jeff? Because in simple fact, I mean, people always talk about, well, he's a base 3-4, 4-3 principles, all that other crap. But who cares about all that? But when you look at where you're coming from, up there with Coach Saleh, back here to Atlanta with Ra, are the schemes, like the base points of the scheme, are they kind of similar, or are some changes going to have to be made?
We're going to spend this first 2 weeks on a deep dive self-scout. So I'm going to learn and watch every single snap that they played last year. And it's also given me an opportunity to really learn this roster on a deeper level, learn this defensive coaching staff on a deeper level, you know, and then we're going to get in the lab, you know, and then we're going to sit down and, you know, what do we want to eliminate? What do we want to refine and improve? And then what do we want to add from New York, you know? And in doing this, you know, we're going to create a package that's going to have a lot of answers, you know, and then ultimately it's going to be able to put the players in the best position to be successful. And we're going to have answers, but at the same time, not dilute to the point where our technique and our style of play gets, we just in any way we lose that. Because in my opinion, great defensive teams, they have a style of play, mm-hmm. and that is never compromised, no matter what the scheme is.
Right.
And you never let the scheme get in the way of the style of play. Guys got to play fast. They got to be absolutely certain of what they're doing, and they got to play physical. And sometimes you can paralyze them with too much stuff.
Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbricht joining us. Introductory press conference earlier on today. And hopefully we get a chance to talk in training camp or later on in the offseason, because I would love to ask you, after that deep dive self-scout, some of the stuff that showed and then some of the stuff that you learned. But as of now, what do you feel like you know before you do that? Like, what do you feel like you know today about this defense?
I know some of the key pieces of it for sure. You know, fortunately, I've had exposure to and experience with AJ and Grady, so two, obviously, the best players on this team, best players at their position in this league, for that matter. So that helps. That's a great starting point. Beyond that, though, I'm just keeping as open as mine as I possibly can. You know, I'm really going to be weary of hearing anybody's opinion about coaches or players until I make my own assessment. So I'm just really I'm looking forward to this process of getting to know everybody.
Jeff, you played in this league, you've coached in this league, you're part of it, everything like that, and obviously you play one of the more demanding positions as the linebacker, but just, I mean, we can talk scheme and all that, but you need dudes, right? You got to have, so we call them war daddies, I'm sure you heard that term. How do you try use what you have in your scheme and try to input to go get some of these war daddies? Because I heard earlier, your number one priority, you got to affect the quarterback.
Absolutely, yeah, there's no great defense that's ever existed in this world without the ability to rush the quarterback and affect the quarterback, you know, so that's priority, absolute priority number one. And that's going to be a combination of scheme. You know, you affect the quarterback in a lot of different ways. A lot of times, you know, just through confusing him and giving him some looks he's not familiar with and playing really sound coverage, that can affect the quarterback. But at the same time, we need to get him off the spot. We need to hit him, and we ultimately need to sack him too. So, it's a combination of all those things, but you're absolutely right. It starts with the men. Like, great defenses have great players. You know, I don't want to get it twisted and think that I'm some magical coach that can, that can make something out of nothing. And fortunately, we're not in the place of having nothing. There's a lot of really good players here, and now we just need to develop, and we need to feature them best we can.
How do you feel like your relationship with Raheem helps you, helps him, helps this defense going forward?
Yeah, it's the equity within our relationship is going to be, we're going to have to lean on that hard, because this next couple months as we create this defense, there's going to be a lot of hard conversations. And that's the beauty of our relationship. We can, you're an outsider watching us operate on a daily basis, you might think that we hate each other, you know, because there is complete honesty and transparency in everything that we do, football and life and everything, you know. So with that type of relationship, we're going to be able to eliminate each other's blind spots, you know, because there is such an element of truth to everything that we say and do with each other. And that's necessary to create this thing the right way. You can't be sensitive, and you can't be worried about people's feelings. We've got to get it right, you know, and we got to get it right now. So this is not a thing that's going to happen 2 years from now, 3 years from now. It's got to happen this season. So we got to do everything humanly possible to make that work. And I think this relationship is going to be a big part of the reason that it does work. Now, saying that, it's interesting, you know. I've obviously, Ra's one of my better friends on this earth, but I haven't been around him a ton since the yeah. LA experience, right. You know, and he hasn't been around me since I've been in New York mm-hmm. a whole lot. So the amount of growth that I've seen in him as a leader, schematically, everything, in every way, he's a different human being, and I'd like to say the same about myself. And it's going to be fun for us to get reacquainted in that way too, and learn what I did in New York and learn what he did in L.A. and then ultimately create something super special here.
What do you think those butting heads will be about? Will it be personnel, or will it be scheme, or something other, something that I might be leaving off the table?
All of it. Mm-hmm. It's the grade of coffee bean in the coffee machine. It's, it's the parking spot. It's everything, you know. And I think the best friends on this earth are truth-tellers to each other, and that's how we've always been. I think that's why I respect him so much, and I think that's why he respects me so much, because we have that type of relationship, and it's going to be huge for us.
One of the things I heard you mention earlier in the press conference just was interesting to me, was how different the league is from various points where you've coached. Obviously, you were part of the Seahawks staff back in 2010, 2011, and then with Dan Quinn and all those guys here before, and then now back in 2025. In that 15 years, how do you feel like the league has changed the most?
Yeah, and it really started with the Kyle Shanahan's and the Sean McVay's of this world. You know, they – the old traditional type of teacher, coach, from an offense perspective, they had a playbook, you know, and they had a system. And, you know, it's been done that way for 20, 30, 40 years since this league was created, where Kyle and Sean went to another place. They threw the playbook. playbook in the trash. And what they did was they went into the lab and learned defensive rules. And by learning defensive rules, like they came up with this mantra of, I want to beat you in a way you've never been beaten before. You know, so because of that, and because they are so well aware of our rules and how to beat us, and it's become so sophisticated from an offensive perspective in that way that defensively we have to keep up. We have to keep them on their toes as well. Like the old day of saying we're going to play cover three 90% of the game, it doesn't exist anymore. And if you do, you're just putting your players' chins out there so they can get haymakered all day. So it's they've become more multiple. We need to become more multiple. Where the secret sauce lies is that ability to create multiplicity without diluting technique and base fundamentals, you know, in a real style of play. So it's us trying to find that perfect balance of what's enough scheme where we can still play in a way, in a style that's going to make these players proud of themselves and each other and the organization proud and the ownership proud and the fan base proud of the way this defense plays.
Jeff, what did you learn from your experience in New York this past year? Because obviously being an interim head coach means somebody had to lose their job, a guy you're really fond of, and Robert Saleh. And obviously, you know, I know for a fact you want to be a head coach ultimately. What did you learn from that experience that you went through last year?
God, the biggest thing I learned was the power of delegation, which I failed at by horribly. Mm-hmm. You know, I was given the position really early in the season. You know, so there was a lot of games to be played still. And my thought at the time was that I was going to create as much continuity as I could on the coaching staff and not have people change their roles. You know, and I've said this before, and I truly believe this. You know, you fired a guy in Robert Saleh that, say, he worked 10-hour days, and I worked a 10-hour day as a defense coordinator. Well, when he got fired, that 10 hours didn't go anywhere. You know, and the fact that I didn't delegate and I didn't give the defensive coordinator to somebody else, it just meant I put 10 hours on my 10 hours, you know, and ultimately when you do that, you do nothing as well as you could have, you know, and, you know, so I didn't do a good enough job probably as a head coach or a defensive coordinator at that point because everything got so diluted you know, so that's probably the biggest thing I learned, you know, that delegation is critical to, and especially when you have so many great people and minds around you, you gotta utilize everybody's superpower that you got. And I also learned the power of truth-telling. You know, I think a lot of times as assistant coaches, we don't share with the head coach everything. You know, I think sometimes, I know myself, I would take it upon myself to eliminate problems and take things off the head coach and make sure that he never found out about certain things. But I feel like that's counterproductive sometimes. You know, there's things that the head coach definitely needs to know and needs to be informed about, whether it's his staff or players or whatever it is. And so those two things, delegation and truth-telling, I'll be so much better because of my experience in New York because of that.
Well, Coach, like we said, welcome back. Thanks so much for the time today.
Good luck, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys.
Falcons defensive coordinator there. Thank you. Falcons defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. Introductory press conference about, I don't know, 45 minutes ago, hour and a half ago, whenever it was. And then nice enough to take some time for us as well. And, you know, We obviously have talked a lot about that side of the ball, who it might be, then Tim. Everybody's sort of take on the Falcons defense has been the same. He even said it.
Right.
You got to have dudes.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have players.
You can have the best scheme in the world.
Yeah.
And like I love what he said, but even I'm not a miracle worker.
I don't know some special sauce to just create.
No, you got to have Joes. You got to have some dudes, war daddies. You got to have those type of things in this league. But my ultimate thing I love, what he talked about, how you can't stay stagnant anymore as far as defense.
Yeah.
Like, I know Pete Carroll's going, for example, he's going to Vegas. He can't run a Legion of Boom scheme like he's running.
Yeah, he even said that. He was like, what we did in Seattle, you couldn't do anymore.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, even though they had them great players,
right,
those offenses will find ways to get around all that. And so, yeah, you got to be mobile. That's why my first question to him was about the base 4-3 and the 4-3 and how everybody wanted to keep throwing that out. That's done.
Right.
It's done. And now you look at it, that's why they changed the position to edge now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because everything is so different because the offenses are different. So you got to change your defensive scheme, your defensive personnel, your defensive body types, all types of things to try to keep up with these offenses.
Hey, good to see you.
I just saw you.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. See you and talk on the radio.
Yeah, I saw you like an hour and a half ago,
man. It was
man.
Fun to drive to Flower Branch to say hi. We got to talk to David Bassidy.
Yeah.
And then to just drive back.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing with it is like.
Got to listen to Mike do our show.
Like, I'm always.
That was cool.
You know me. I try to give myself enough time to be there, but not a lot of time to sit around.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so I try to get here a half hour before. Huh? Try to get here. Try to get any on-site, anything. But I was like, okay, I'm going to get here a little. I'm going to try to get here early. So I got here. I got there at 10:25. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I noticed, there was no van.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there's no van here. Maybe put up on this car. I don't know.
Who knows?
Whatever.
Who knows?
Then I go in there. I don't see no tablecloth.
No.
It's like, oh.
No headphones.
This don't sound good.
And right then here. I made the terrible joke of, did you bring any broadcasting equipment? And you said, no. Well, you weren't really supposed to.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to broadcast then. We're going to have to drive back to the radio station.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, we've been here before.
It's not the first
time.
It's not the first time. All right. The show Jersey will begin.
Mike, Jersey Mike ain't been gone.
I texted him. He's amused. I know that had nothing to do with it, but he was amused. All right. We'll come back. It was a great weekend. It was an incredible weekend in football. Outside of football, locally, not a great weekend. The Hawks, not great. But anyway, we'll come back and kind of start the show next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Monday afternoon. Happy Monday. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Nice it's not so damn cold outside.
Hell to the year.
Warmed up a little bit. I know it's raining, but I'll take it. Over 15 degrees. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, or we'll just talk about the two games, or whatever. To kind of have some fun, talk about the championship games. Back page with Bo coming up in 20 minutes as well. Shout out to Jeff Ulbrich for spending some time with us top of the noon hour. Fun to talk to the new Falcons defensive coordinator. And there you have it. There you have it. He is in town. He hired his staff. He is ready to go. He's going to deep dive all the plays from every game over the next couple of weeks and try to assess. And then they go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, I'm assuming that because the Senior Bowl starts this week, so I'm assuming they send probably the scouts and everything like that. Probably all of them are down there in Birmingham. That's the first thing you got to do. You got the uncomfortable conversation part is like, who's going to be here and who's not?
Yep.
And who do I need?
Especially for a guy who's been here before. Yep. And, I mean, not a ton of the guys that were here then are still here, but Grady and AJ, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, AJ is probably pretty easy, but Grady might be a difficult decision.
Exactly. It's like, I need this guy to do this on this team, and then when it's time to lay down, the scouting evaluation and tape of college players, I need this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I need this guy. All right, I know I understand, Terry. No, I know you might like that guy. I like this guy because I want this guy, and I think this guy can do this in my
because we want to play defense like this.
Yes.
This is how we want to play. That guy plays like that. We need to go get him. Hey, congratulations to Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, man. Way to go, B.
He will be a Pro Bowler. Way He's go, going B. to the Pro Bowl in place of Saquon. Saquon's going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, Saquon
because
is going to
he's
Super Bowl.
A bully. Yeah. And so are the Eagles.
Yeah, man.
They didn't have to do all that.
I think,
55?
Dude. When you take three possessions away from the best player on your team, it's hard to win and on the road and everything like that. Because Jaden played really good.
Played good. He had a garbage time interception, but the fumbles weren't his fault.
Yeah, he played good. Yeah. I thought he played really good. But the Eagles, sometimes you're just bigger than people and you can just move them around. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they did. So Saquon got a little nicked up and everything. And they did, Gainwell came in and everything like that. But yeah, that was just bully ball. It was bully ball. And then all of a sudden, you see how things open up, and they're able to throw the football because they got the one-on-one matchup. And I don't care what nobody says, Lattimore ain't guarding no damn A.J. Brown one-on-one. Ooh. And you saw it.
No,
if you needed proof, you have it. Yes, if that dude can't grab and hold, he can't cover.
Yeah.
And I think he's a tough-ass football player. I think he's a really good corner. But to put him on an island and travel with the one like he used to with Julio, and Julio is work his ass until he started grabbing home Julio.
Yeah,
that's just a mismatch. Everybody got involved. Kellen Moore called a great game yesterday. He really, really did because everybody got involved. You saw speed sweeps with the tight end. You saw the run, the tush push. In my opinion, I don't understand why people don't want it. I'm like, hell of it. Tell your team to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Other teams do it. They just don't do it as well.
Yeah, but I thought, overall, the Eagles they're a better football team. And it's something we discussed on Friday when we were breaking out both guys. I said, this one probably can be a blowout.
Yeah, that's one that there was an easy way to sort of see it happening like that.
Yeah.
And really, the way it happens like that is if the Commanders turn the football over.
Yes.
And they did. The Eagles scored 28 points off turnovers. They lost by 32.
Yes.
to lose by 32 in a playoff game is crazy.
Yeah.
But it was a game, like in the third quarter.
They were driving.
They were down 11 driving, yeah. And Eckler puts it on the ground, yeah, right? And if that ball bounces a different way and they get it back, who knows?
Maybe Jalen Carter followed the ball. His ass always trying to damn scoop
the score.
He's
trying to score a touchdown.
He's in that at Georgia all the damn time. Yeah. Follow the damn football,
he's trying to score
man.
A touchdown.
Follow the football.
I know, because he got stripped out of his hand, and ultimately they did get it. But, and look, that was it right there when that happened. But
the damn Georgia boys again showed up.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. I mean, they're good. Big J, he swallowed him.
They were bringing heat.
Nolan, I mean, they just, you know, just played a good game, man. They're a really good football team. Washington did make some plays. A big run by Scary Terry.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Jaden, like we talked about earlier, I thought the rookie played really, really good, actually. But Philly is the standard in the NFC, man.
Yeah, that's what happens when a good story plays a really good team.
Yeah.
And that's what that was.
Yes,
they're a great story.
Yes,
and I don't, you know, hopefully they'll be back and for their sake and all that. But you know, it was going to take near perfection and even more than that, like some luck, in order to beat Philadelphia. And Philadelphia was going to have to play bad. Problem is, Philadelphia played incredible.
They did not play bad.
Saquon. They went on their first drive, and it was like, dang, Washington's doing all their stuff, man.
First
going
play.
Going for it on fourth down. Jaden's making it happen and all that to get 3 points.
Yeah. And that's why Saquon's like, that's cute. I was like, hold on, Dan, y'all did all that. You going to take the points?
Yeah, where are you going to
What are you doing?
Kick now?
What are
like,
you doing?
I realize it's like a layup, so I guess take the points, but you guys went for it three other times already.
Yeah.
Just to get down here, and I guess you don't want the drive to result in no points, whatever. And Saquon, first play, spin move. See ya.
Dude.
That was cute.
Bounce,
game over.
Gone.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Then the next touchdown he gets. I mean, that was a big adjustment that Washington was doing well, because you knew that the center and the guard and Dickinson, they were banged up, man. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even move lateral. And that's why I kept saying, I'm like, why is Saquon having to pick up defensive lineman, because the Phillies center and their guard, they couldn't move.
Yeah, their starting center was out.
But them dudes battled. Mm-hmm. I mean, they battled through it and everything like that. They were able to find a way to get a win. But, I mean, just that part of the game, I was like, damn, they have no protection in the A-gap.
I do love what Washington did on the goal line tush-push. Because to hell with it. What's half the distance?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to time it up.
Yep.
And then the ref was like, if you keep doing this crap, I'm giving him a free touchdown,
yeah.
Which I didn't know was a thing.
I did not know that was a thing. Until he said that. And the reason was because I don't think it's more or less the down guys, what they were doing. It was the guy jumping.
Yeah, it was Frankie Lizzie trying to jump over the top.
It was a guy jumping that I think prompted him to say that.
Which is fine, because he seemed content to do it a million times.
Yes.
Like, he'd still be doing it now if they wouldn't have said that.
Yes.
Which, again, I kind of, you know.
But, I mean, you're doing a tush push. You're doing a tush push with a hard count.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're going to flinch.
You're going to flinch.
Because the thing about it is you're – got all your momentum, and you're trying to strike, and you need to time it out.
You have to time it perfect. You have
to time it
perfect.
When they're hard counting, you're flinching. It's just what it is.
Yep.
And that's why I love the hard count. But, I mean, that's why they did that, because his ass kept jumping over the damn pile.
Which I loved. I mean, again, you got to time it perfect if you're going to break that play up. He was trying to Troy Polamalu it, and they weren't going to let him.
Yeah.
Like, they were never going to let him do it, and the ref had to step in. And went, I did not know that was a thing, that they could just award points if you didn't stop doing shenanigans. Which, all right, now that they know that, they might do that for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Somebody's going to do it again. Somebody's going to do it.
Oh, we can just give the Chiefs points. I'm kidding. I'm not one that believes that there's any sort of grand conspiracy that keeps benefiting the Kansas City Chiefs. It's got to be frustrating if you're one of these teams in the AFC who can't get past them.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every time there's a questionable call that happens in these big games, it benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
But these questionable calls yesterday, like, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, it was you can't see the ball. They said he didn't get the first down.
The guy who made the fourth down call, the ref, he had the best vantage point.
Because
the guy who gave him the first down, Josh's back was to him.
He couldn't see it. That's true.
The guy that was looking, he saw it.
So that doesn't help the non-conspiracy
theorist. And I understand. But like we were saying, dog, we talked about that game, this game. I said it's going to be another classic.
And it was.
I said it's going to be another damn classic, man. And it was. And obviously, we'll have more time to talk about it because we're out of time, but if you're Josh Allen, and I always believe, you know, be a good sport and everything, you know, your man beats you, go shake his hand and everything like that. That's got to be a frustrating damn handshake.
It has to be.
It's got to be a frustrating handshake, because I'm telling you, it's crushing.
Because what else can he do? He's playing great.
You know what I mean? What else can I do to beat this dude? This is how all them people in that Jordan era felt.
Yep.
Like, as great as our teams are, no matter what, we just can't beat this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's how Josh is feeling. That's how Lamar feels.
Yep.
That's how, I mean, I know we're beat one time, but he's in that.
All of them.
How can we beat this guy? The reason you can't beat this guy is because they are the most championship play-to-play team I've ever seen. outside the Patriots. Every single play, they are so well coached, Bunk. If you look at this defensive, and the defensive play when Josh throws the ball up, for Murphy to hold that blitz. First of all, for Spags to call the defense,
To send him on that fourth down play.
They had it perfect because there was no protection. If that was a back, the back would have picked him up.
Right.
But, I mean, it didn't help because the damn defensive line beat him off the line. But at the same time, for Josh to get that damn ball off, because he was wide open.
Yeah. Should have caught it.
But that's the hardest ball to catch, Bonk.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Because the thing about it is, it's like a damn Hail Mary.
Yeah, it's up there forever.
And your momentum is taking you this way, and then you're trying to lunge back.
It's fluttering.
And the only way you're going to be able to catch it is with your – you can't grab it with your hands. Mm-hmm. The only way you can do it is try to catch it the exact way he caught it. One of the most hardest ways to catch a football ever in that type of moment. You still got to catch it.
Yeah, you still got to catch it.
You got to catch it.
Yeah.
You got to catch
it. It's the season.
Yep. You got to make that play for him.
Yep.
Because that's what the Chiefs don't do. Travis Kelce would have caught
it. He would have caught it.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because that's what you just.
Or whoever. It might not even have been Travis Kelce. It might have been DeAndre Hopkins who had one catch or something. Somebody would have caught that.
Exactly. And then you look at it, you go down, you score. There's no way in hell that Patrick Mahomes ain't winning that football game. If they went up by four and they need a touchdown, you know what Patrick Mahomes gonna do?
Score
a touchdown.
He'll score a touchdown.
Because that's what this dude does. Mm-hmm. That's what he does, and that's what he does. So I can, like, watching Josh's press this morning, and watching his, like, the first question, and he just takes his deep breath.
Yeah.
To beat the champ, you got to beat the champ.
Yeah.
But now, your whole focus right now, if you're Buffalo, if you're Baltimore, or anybody in the AFC, maybe anybody in the AFC.
Poison him. How?
Because it don't matter if he's not an Arrowhead.
Oh, I know.
Because he went down and beat y'all last year.
Try to get him to retire and play baseball.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's all you got.
I said, when he drafted in baseball?
Yeah, you got to hope he gets bored and goes and plays baseball.
Yeah, I think he was drafted in baseball.
Because that's what he is.
Yeah.
He's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's got to suck for everybody else that's not him.
Everybody.
God.
That's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
You'd have been better if you would have lost any other quarterback. You lost that guy again.
Every single time. Four times in the playoffs.
That guy.
Now, this isn't as bad as losing four Super Bowls.
No.
But it's close, though.
You lost to that guy.
Every single time they lose to these guys. Every single time. And almost every time it's like that.
Yes.
3 points, one score, overtime, whatever. It's crazy.
All right, Allie.
We'll come back.
We'll come back
and get to the back page with Bo after this. Thanks for being with us. Hey, this hour, by the way, is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You wouldn't think it.
Not
you know?
At all that Rick James is from Buffalo.
It looks like Prince being from Minneapolis.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Or, well, no, because Papa Joe give ass whoopers like he from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, no, he's from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, Papa Joe give ass whoopers
like
he's
exact. But Michael Jackson being from Gary, Indiana.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's a good point.
Papa Joe give them hood ass whoopers.
Boy. Anybody can be from anywhere, you know? People from all over. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to get to the big story of the day coming up in about 20 minutes, which means we'll get back into both of those football games from yesterday. I mean, just the spectacle of what the Eagles did in the second half of that game was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then, look, the Bills and Chiefs are going to be a classic. It's going to be a classic game. Both quarterbacks are going to play great. There's going to be some calls that benefit the Kansas City Chiefs, and then Patrick Mahomes is going to be a magician.
No. What Falcon Alley called?
The Kansas City cheats.
Really? Really, Allie?
Now, they're not the ones cheating.
They're not cheating.
If anyone is cheating, it would be the refs on behalf of the NFL.
But
I just don't understand what the point of that would be from the beginning. Like, Kansas City? Like, why is that the one we want to prop up?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I saw something coming in.
It's not a big market.
I saw one driving in. It said, I bet this is going to be one of the lowest rated Super Bowls ever. I hope Roger's happy. And I thought to myself, effing dork.
Yeah.
The hell you talking about going to be the lowest rated? Like, it's a Super Bowl, bro. Okay?
Yeah.
And the way you say that, because he had a Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so.
That's usually what happens. That's rage.
Yes. But then you're like, so what you're telling me is if it is like Netflix, I'm like, nah, we don't want NFL, they're exposed? Or, you know, Bezos going to be like, nah, I think I'm going to get out of the NFL business.
Or they're going to be like, you know what, we should have had the Bills in. The ratings would have been better. Yeah. Let's cancel the win that the Chiefs had and put them in there.
Really?
Yeah, it's just coping.
Come on, man.
It's a coping mechanism.
Come on, fine, I guess. But the thing about it is, now you see all the Chiefs. Like, if your team's out, what are you coping for? You know what I mean? Like people who keep on talking about the Chiefs are cheaters and all that. They didn't do anything wrong. They just go out there and play football.
They're just playing.
They're just playing.
They're just playing.
Think about the calls that they don't get.
Sure.
Which is rare.
It's not a lot. Probably the most egregious call they've ever gotten is the last time they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That terrible pass interference call.
But that's the one where I was like, why? But
why?
By the law, it's pass interference. By the law.
That's true. You just don't see it called very much.
He grabbed him.
He grabbed him.
Yeah. How about old Juju?
What about you?
Plays last night.
It's just that's what the Chiefs are, and that's what's so infuriating. If you're their opponent or whatever, is like Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't done anything all year. Comes up big last night. Xavier Worthy's just he's everywhere.
Yes.
Samaje Perine's the guy that makes the play to win the game.
It's so crazy, Andy, because
Kareem Hunt's running like he's a rookie.
They run the same play.
Yep,
I kept hollering, people call it different. We call it damn loop pass. That is Kansas City's bread and butter play on those situations because it gives Pat Mahomes, he's rolling to his right. Yep. If the back's there, you dump to it. If not, he'll run up.
Yep.
And then they call the perfect fourth down, the perfect play because Pacheco don't know how to stay in bounds with his wild running ass. You stay in bounds, you got to run the play.
That's true.
And then they just run H sneak.
He was just so excited to make contact with the defensive player.
They run crossers with the H sneak out of the backfield. Bam. Game over.
The other thing that's irritating about Patrick Mahomes, if there's anything that's irritating about him, is that he's so damn good that he doesn't even have to use one of the things that he's really good at most of the year.
Yep.
He can run.
Mm-hmm.
He's genuinely mobile.
Yes.
Like he can run and move, and he's athletic. I know he's been banged up the last couple of years, so maybe there's been less of that. Seems pretty healthy right now. But he just kind of keeps it up his sleeve until he needs it. And then he runs for 2 touchdowns and 43 yards yesterday and just – all right, now we're going to use this just because it's time for it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy to be so talented that you can not use all the tools in your toolbox and still go 15-1 in the regular season and then be like, we'll just keep this for when we need it. And then they needed it yesterday, and he used it, and it worked.
Unbelievable, man.
It really is.
Unbelievable. It's his world.
It really is. It is.
Now, they got to
the Eagles are good.
Eagles are real good.
That should be I think it's going to be a well-rated Super Bowl because both teams are awesome.
The Eagles are real good, but they got him.
Yeah, they do.
They got him. They got him in the fat man.
They do.
And one of the best big game defensive coordinators in the history of the National Football League.
And they're going to need it because Saquon Barkley is Superman.
Yes, he is.
Like, that guy can score anytime he touches the ball. Jalen Hurts played really well yesterday,
too.
He made a lot of good throws, answered some of the questions about where is he at help-wise. He scored 3 touchdowns on the ground. So, to me, it feels like a battle of two like legitimately excellent football teams. And I don't know. I'm not a Bills fan. Or a Commanders fan, so our team's been out of it for a while, so we don't have to cope. We can just look forward to it and enjoy it. And maybe next year, we won't be interviewing defensive coordinators on January 28th like we did today, and we'll be talking about getting ready for a game or reacting to whatever. You know what I mean? Hopefully that's where we'll be. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Hello, Bo.
So we'll go ahead and stay on the same subject matter that y'all are on. It's these two games from yesterday. Where I want to start is Saturday night, or maybe it's Friday. I really can't figure out when exactly they call it late night comes on, like when it airs, and that's Jason Kelsey's TV show on ESPN.
Oh.
I've seen 1:30 a.m., and I've seen 10:30 Friday night. Maybe it's both. I'm sure it re-airs different times over the weekend. But it started, 3 weeks ago,
and
I haven't heard a whole lot about it. Oh. Yeah. So over the weekend, though, Jason's a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. He had Jameis on his show.
Oh, God, yes.
Jameis tells a story of his first ever 5-touchdown game when he was a rookie and how the Philadelphia Eagles fans treated him.
But I do have a bone to pick with this fan base initially.
Oh.
So the very first time I threw for 5 touchdowns in a football game was in Lincoln Financial Field. My rookie year, and we beat you guys here, 2015. And the most iconic thing ever happened to me. Someone snuck some steamed Alaskan king crab legs in the game. And I got hit with a cluster of crab legs as I'm walking into it.
Damn.
This is the question.
How did
the crab legs get into the stadium?
Right.
Yeah.
I know y'all not selling crab legs at the stadium.
Not that I'm aware of.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Aramark can find some. But.
So I'm looking for security. I'm just like, how we sneak crab legs, especially the Alaskan king crab legs, and they're spiky.
They are spike
legs. You do not want to get hit with an Alaskan spike leg.
They are super spiky.
They are really, really spiky.
That's the best way to describe
them. They really are.
James is 100% right.
They are really, really are.
And they're huge.
Yeah, they are huge.
Yeah. How you sneaking that in?
I don't know. I saw the best clip I've ever seen in tailgate. Did y'all see the Philadelphia Eagles fan who was roasting a pig in a grocery
shopping cart?
In a buggy?
Yeah. Was that a pig that was on there? All I saw was a shopping cart.
Yeah, it was. He roasted a pig in a buggy? Hell yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're creative.
That's awesome.
Because you know, after their tailgate, they probably just left it down there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Disposable grill right there.
That's right.
We don't condone the actions of anybody that steals shopping carts, but.
or not put them back when the damn thing is like
right there. That's a whole different podcast right there.
It's not far.
Get you kicked right in your damn groin.
It's not far. Yeah. You got to put it back. I like the ones that have the little lock for if you try to steal it. You know, the one with the wheels will lock up.
They have all. That's in San Diego where we lived at, man. All the grocery stores in the area had them. Like, you couldn't even take, like, it was magneted. As soon as you get too far in the parking lot. Like, they don't want homeless people to have nuts.
They don't want them to steal it at all.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
It's always funny when you see a shopping cart really far away from a grocery store, too. It's like, how they walked a long way with that shopping cart. This is 3 miles from a Kroger. That was a commitment. They walked all the way here. All right, I guess they left it here in the bushes. Now somebody, you think the cart guy has to go get it?
I don't know.
He gets a phone call.
They put GPS on him. Eventually, he'll have to.
There's a Kroger in the bush over there.
So we've all heard most of these NFL, or probably all of them, all these NFL quarterbacks and players in general, for that much, speak. There's probably not a bigger talker in metaphors or philosophies than Jalen Hurts. I sometimes wonder if he reads philosophy books, maybe on the side.
I think he does.
AJ Brown does.
Yeah, well, he
on
reads
the sideline.
Self-help
on the sideline.
Yeah.
I'm almost curious though. Like, does Jalen Hurts like just always talking philosophy type speak? Because sometimes it kind of feels a little bit over the edge.
All right. Failure has to be used as a source of pain to go take that next step. And there's always learning opportunities and everything. And I think it's human nature to be ignited by the shortcomings.
I mean, but he's
that was like
he,
three in that one.
He's
sentence.
Correct. He's
it's
a,
all true.
He's a son of a coach. Mm-hmm. That's what coaches when they're at a team meeting speaking to their team and all his other different stuff, man.
But he won. What's he talking about?
He won because about, I mean, I don't know, man. People they want to give him his flowers. You know, it's all Saquon and everything like that. He played his ass off yesterday. He threw the hell out of the football.
He played awesome.
Yeah, he threw the hell out of the football.
He also, I mean, just watch how many times pre-snap. He changes what they're doing and gets everything lined up perfectly.
Yes.
And then Saquon goes on a 40-yard run.
Yes.
He has a lot. I mean, he might be, I don't know, probably a lot of these guys are. I might be out of my depth saying this, but he's certainly one of the best pre-snap quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's really so smart,
sees what he needs to see, diagnoses it, and gets him in the right play. Like,
and this is every press conference.
Yeah, no. Jalen,
I wonder if you walk up to Jalen
Hurts
on the street.
I love
and
it.
And like, paper or plastic, Jalen? Well.
Why not?
When it comes down to.
Why not?
I guess he could, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people do talk like that. I guess.
Yeah, then he'd be fresh as hell.
Is he at the dinner table with the
Kango beret?
Yeah.
Like
they got a cool picture of him getting his victory cigar lit up in his locker yesterday.
Awesome.
It was great.
Awesome.
I really like that guy.
I do too. Man.
I like him a lot.
So on Friday when we made our picks, when I went to go pick the Chiefs because I really thought they were going to win because of the fact that to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, here's Josh Allen following it up.
To be the champs, you got to beat the champs, and we didn't do it tonight.
They did not do it tonight. But
I didn't.
Is it ever going to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson's time?
I don't know.
That's the biggest argument I got. I think so.
They're just so good.
But 15, agreed. Like he's in his prime. He's at the beginning of his prime.
Yeah.
Now he's going to lose because I think if they win this, I think Kels walks away.
Okay.
I think Kels walks away.
Right.
If they win.
So you got the attrition there. You also just have bad luck of like sometimes the wrong guy gets hurt on your playoff run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the Kansas City Chiefs can't have, like, it takes so many things, obviously, including great players and coaches and all that stuff, but outside of your control in order to make 5 out of 6 Super Bowls. Like, they're just going to have a bad luck year sometime.
Maybe.
And then maybe one of those guys
Because it ain't trying, okay, yeah, you want home field, don't get me wrong. But it don't matter to him.
It doesn't.
He went to Buffalo. I mean, he went to Buffalo and beat Josh, and he went to Baltimore and beat Lamar.
Last year. Yeah.
Like,
you throw Joey Burrow in there, that's 4 AFC quarterbacks that are all of the same age.
Yeah.
And the argument when I'm talking to fans of Buffalo or whoever thought they were going to win this weekend is, no, this is Josh Allen's time. No, all four of those guys' time is right now. It's just Pat's getting the better of them.
He's just better. He's just better than them.
And that's what Peyton Manning went through, but he eventually got his.
He did.
But the thing about it was he had to beat Tom.
Exactly.
Yeah. He ended up with a winning record over Tom Brady.
Yeah, he had to beat Tom. Mm-hmm.
No, it's crazy. Like, it feels very much – I know that's the example that people use because it's football. It feels very much like the 90s in basketball, though, because it's not just Josh. You know, like, it wasn't just Patrick Ewing. It's Barkley.
Yes.
And it's Reggie Miller.
Yes.
And it's Karl Malone and John Stockton.
Yes.
And all these – Jordan doesn't exist. All those guys have championships.
Yes.
Barkley wins in 93.
Yes.
Jazz win in 97. You know what I mean?
But it's him.
Like, all those guys. And I know Burrow did beat him and get to the Super Bowl, they lost the Super Bowl. But, like, if all their careers continue on the same trajectory, all those guys are going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Like, those are all Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Yes. You're just eventually going to have to beat Mahomes.
Got to beat this guy.
Got to have to kind of do it.
This guy, he's
very hard
to
do.
He's in the way.
It's just great.
As I said.
Yeah, I don't blame him. All he can do is sigh and try to not. Oh, man, I don't even know. Hey, caller number 6 right now. You're going to win a pair of tickets before you can even buy them to see Nine Inch Nails in concert for their Peel It Back Tour 2025 on Tuesday, September 9th at Gas South Arena. Tickets don't go on sale till Wednesday. So if you want them, you got to be caller number 6 right now, 404-726-0929. We're going to send you to go see Nine Inch Nails coming up in September. We'll be back with the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.